Good morning. Welcome to our time together that we set aside to gather and remind one another of God's love and share God's love with each other. Today is all the things. Well, most importantly, I do want to say a happy Father's Day to all the fathers among us and all those who have given us nurturing and loving and caring father-like conditions. We are so grateful to our fathers and those who have been like fathers to us. Just also the reminder that for many, like Mother's Day, this is a hard day. Some are missing their father who has gone on to be with God, or perhaps did not have a father who was able to love them as they needed to be loved. And so we keep in mind all the feelings that are being felt today. Also, it's the longest day of the year, isn't it? I know some days can feel like they're the longest day of the year, but today really actually is. So if today feels a little bit longer, it's not just you. Yeah. And today's my longest sermon. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let us pause, take a deep breath, breathe in that sense of God's Holy Spirit around and within us, and exhale all that does not serve God's purpose of love. I invite you to join in our call to worship this morning, inspired by Psalm 48. How lovely is your dwelling place, O God of hosts!
Our souls long indeed faint for you. Our hearts and fleshes sing for joy to the living God.
Blessed are we, your beloved, and may we ever sing your praise.
Our joy and our strength are in you.
And please rise in body or spirit as we sing our opening hymn, Faith of Our Fathers.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of all and only good things, we admit that we often miss the extraordinary in the ordinary. While we know that much needs to change in our broken world, help us to always look for the helpers, look for the growth, look for the love, and share its proliferation. Beloved, our God is a radically merciful God, and we are restored through that mercy. Indeed, that is our greatest joy. We are loved, and we are forgiven again and again. Let us share together an expression of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and in earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us greet one another with a sign of God's peace and love. Peace be with you. Love with you. Please be seated. This morning, as we come before God corporately in prayer, we want to keep in mind many of our congregation, along with the whole world. We want to pray in thanks for Sandy. We know Sandy's been going through some cancer treatment, and there was a concern that she would not be able to continue with her radiation, but she did receive word this week that they will continue to complete the radiation that she was prescribed. So continue to keep Sandy and Meg in your hearts and in your prayers. Also, Jane Chappelle has been having some continued difficulty, but they have found out why. She developed an E. coli infection in the heart valve deal. And so this week she's going to have an echocardiogram. She is on antibiotics, so hopefully she is on the mend there. Now there's some answers. Pray for Pastor Tom as he is away preaching this week. For Bill Getchell, Bill and Carrie are kind of new. They come and they sit in the back. Bill had a heart cath on Friday and is doing well, but we'll continue to be monitored for that. And also a joy for Madeline, Sue Galley's granddaughter. If you don't know, she graduated this year from Brentwood, and she'll be going to Pitt on a full ride serious scholarship this fall. So that's exciting. That's exciting. And I know that there are many prayers that we have left unspoken, many prayers that people are holding in their hearts for people who are in need of something tangible from God. And we can be that, and we also know that God sustains us through all things. This morning, the prayer that I'm going to share is inspired by the late United Methodist pastor and gifted spiritual leader, the Reverend Dr. Ted Loader. And let us begin in silence, and then I'll lead us. Oh, extravagant God, in the stillness of this moment, awaken us with a sense of joy. Joy for just being alive. Joy for nothing in general, except for everything in particular. Joy in the sun and the rain, mating with the earth to produce fruit. Joy in the light through the leafy trees. Joy in the acolyte moon setting halos around the clouds. Joy in the beating of a thousand wings. In the song of the birds. Joy in the wagging of tails and kids' smiles, and joy in the person next to, behind, and in front of us. The joy of having other people to hold and cry and laugh with. And joy in you. Most of all, joy in the truth. That your love never fails. God, we often call you Father, and we thank you and we pray for all those who have fathered us. We pray for the nurturing, guiding men, and may they know their worth is beyond measure. And may they know that you look at them and say the words that you said to Jesus, "This is my son, my beloved." And now we pray in the way that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we sing together, "Father, I adore you." Please be seated, and would the ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering. Thank you.
God, you are the source of all that is good and only what is good and only. And our cups, they run over. And we return a portion of what we have been given so that the cup of all may run over.
This morning's scripture reading is Luke 18, 15 to 17. People were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." This is the reading of the word.
Thank you, Janet. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever seen something and just thought, wow, this just doesn't really make any sense at all? Like maybe the Duncan Manor intersection where seven places, right. Or maybe what you're seeing lately that every single bit of construction work has to be done all at the same time on the same street. Because I just wonder, like, why can't the tree cutters and the resurfacing folks and the waterline experts, why can't they all get together and come up with an agreement that they won't all do all the work at the same time so that we won't need detours that need detours? There are a lot of things. You look at them and you just think, I don't know, this just seems off. Well, I've told some of you this story. That happened to me on Pentecost. The week leading up to Pentecost, I sent out an email to you all and to the people at Mount Nebo, and I invited them to wear red. And I did mention that my football team, Arsenal, their color's red, and they had just won the Premier League championship. And I kind of said, you know, I know you're all wearing red anyway because of Arsenal, but wear it for the Holy Spirit this Sunday. Well, Sunday morning, I received a text from a gentleman at Mount Nebo, one of our elders, and it was a long text in the beginning said, "Oh, congratulations on your lads, and this is wonderful, and he's going into all this detail about it." And the last sentence said, "I won't be able to wear red today because I'm in Shadyside Hospital. I have a brain tumor, and I'm having surgery on Tuesday." So that just seemed a little odd, and I backtracked a little bit, and I said, "Oh, Tom, that's, you know, okay, thanks for your, but what's going on?" And he told me that that week he'd been discovered in an MRI at the emergency room that he did have a 2-centimeter brain tumor, but it looked good, like it could be as good as a brain tumor could be, and they could pop it out and take, so I guess you don't need all your brain, and take out a lot of the surrounding tissue, and everything would be okay. So when I went to visit him that afternoon after my time at Fair Oaks, I go in, and again, it seemed really weird because there he was sitting in his street clothes in a chair, smiling like you wouldn't believe. His wife and his daughter and his granddaughter, they were on the bed, all, it was just, and there was so much joy and happiness and just a sense of peace and ease in that room. And Tom and his family explained that, I don't know, they said just for whatever reason, we feel so confident in this doctor, and we know that no matter what happens, God's got us. And that was really spectacular, but it was very strange to see this man who was facing surgery in 2 days looking this way, and his family presenting themselves this way, so happy. And then when I shared that story with one of you, you told me about a Scottish-born preacher who told a story. He was at a conference many years ago, and a woman came up to him and said, "Once I was visiting my friend in the hospital, and my friend was dying. And before I went into his room, I checked his chart, and a nurse had written, 'The patient is inappropriately joyful.'" And the woman said, the nurse had believed that because her friend was in such dire straits, facing death imminently, that his joy, that his peace, which was radiating from him, she said, was inappropriately joyful. And I said to you, "Oh my gosh, that's exactly what happened with Tom. That's exactly what happened. That's just how it was." What is that? What is that joy that we still can pull at, that we still can feel even when faced with? Well, even when just living in this world. This world that has so much heaviness and so much that needs to change. But yet, I don't know how many of you are old enough to know that song Peggy Lee sang, "Is That All There Is?" It's a very depressing song, but it's, "If that's all there is, you know, I'm not going to take my own life because I'm not ready for that final disappointment." It's a terrible song. It's a terrible song, but we don't find ourselves like that often. When we do, it's because the pain is just too great, and there is no shame in that, because God loves us through those deep, dark times as well, always. But why do many of us have that ability to keep going, even for just another day? Well, this little bit of scripture here today, it might give us some kind of insight. There is Jesus talking about children, and Jesus pointing us to a child to show us how to receive God's love. And have you ever been around a child much? A child that has what they need. Sometimes they just run around like little nutballs. I see that. You know, sometimes they just... Sometimes you don't even know why they're screaming or why they're laughing or why they're crawling around. And that's great in certain places. We've come to mark those places. I've done a lot of weddings, and in these recent years, I find that many weddings are for grown-ups only. And I get that. I'm not dismissing that or whatever, but the reason is because kids might get a little wild. It's also expensive too, so I get that part of it too. When a child is baptized in a church service, it's usually at the beginning. And I'll tell you, there's really no liturgical reason for that. That's not the Holy Ghost saying that. That's done because so children don't act up and get fussy. And when I was in library school, we were told that before you have your story time, you should say to the super special grown-ups, "Feel free to take your little one out of the room if they just aren't feeling it today." Which is a nice way of saying, if your kid can't behave, get them out of here. I don't say that, by the way. And I'm not dismissing the need for order, but maybe I'm just questioning, what is order? What is appropriate? Maybe the unrestrained expressions of children are something that we need to pay closer attention to. Jesus welcomed children so we can learn from men. And maybe this sermon shouldn't have been titled Inappropriately Joyful. It should just be Inappropriately Human. Because I do think that far too often we are more criticized for not being shiny and positive and joyful. You ever have a friend say to you, how you doing? And you know they care, not just one of those polite things. But you ever have a friend say that and you start to go through your head like, well, I'm not really doing very well, actually. But if I say that I'm not doing very well, then they're going to feel bad and I don't want to make them feel bad. And I really should feel better about myself because I'm so much better off than everybody else. And there's so many people. But the thing is, children don't worry about that very much. Children feel all the feels and they express those feels, but to the people they trust, to the people they feel safe with, to the people who love them. And my beloved, we're called to be a community of Christ, and we're called to be Jesus's hands and feet in this world. So if you tell me you aren't feeling so great, don't be afraid to say that. If you want to talk about it, I am ready to listen, to walk alongside you like Jesus of Nazareth would have. I won't be as good. But I know you would do that for one another. And so when you are asked, how do you feel? Trust that the person who's asking you really wants to know. Don't feel that need to just smile. And say, oh, good, good, if you're not. And don't feel guilty about feeling joyful either. Don't feel guilty about that at all. Because Tom, even though they really, the doctor did not think that this would happen, the biopsy came back and he does have cancer. And so he is going to face chemotherapy and radiation. And still, right now, they had their little granddaughter baptized this morning at Mount Nebo. Tom and his family, they are radiating with that joy. And some of us are thinking, oh my gosh. But no. And they've shared that. They said, we are feeling held and loved now. We are. We are feeling nothing but joyful right now. But we know there'll come a time when we won't. And that's okay. Because like children, they know that they can share their real feelings, inappropriate or appropriate, with those who love them. We have a God that we can share all the feelings with. And may that be so for all of God's beloved children. Amen. As we sing our closing hymn, it might seem inappropriate to sing Joy to the World. But what I did find out is that the author, Isaac Watts, he didn't write it strictly as a Christmas song. It didn't become that until much later. He wrote it with another group of songs that were all done, each focusing on a different psalm. And so this is indeed a time that talks about Jesus coming into the world as an infant, but Jesus also coming again. And so if you would stand, if you are able, rise in body or spirit as we sing our closing hymn, Joy to the World.
love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, all those whom you love, and all those who falsely believe that no one loves them, this day, this night, and throughout all eternity.